Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I was just watching the show Everybody Loves Raymond the other night. It's a favorite of my wife and I. Did you know that, who's the woman who's the actress's name? She was also in The Middle.
What, Malcolm in the Middle? Or in the show
Malcolm in the Middle? No, just a show called The Middle. Ray, do you know? What's her name?
I know her name. I don't know her name, but her father was a famous sportscaster in Cleveland. And he's got a plaque in the press room.
Is it, yes, he does. Is it Patricia Heaton?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. Yes,
and her, I was just going to tell these guys in a little story time with Grandpa Joe moment that, yeah, her dad, exactly what you said, a legendary Cleveland sports writer. And if you cover a game there, Donnie, you'll see his photo right up there in the press box.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I think Chuck Heaton, right, Ray?
That's correct. Yep.
He's Ray Fittipaldo, a legendary sports writer in his own right. For the Post Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. You can see him right now at 937thefan.com. He's closer to the camera than we are by far, making him look like he has a Mulsey-sized cranium while you and I are pinheads, Donnie.
He's applying to be that guy that does replay review for college volleyball.
Did you see that last night, Ray? The replay guy in the college volleyball sticks his head right in the camera.
Bigger than Malzy said?
No, but almost.
No. Okay.
So Ray, what's going?
As long as you don't put me in, as long as you don't put me into a mashup of a Christmas song, I'm good, Joe.
Did you like that song?
I was driving to work one day. Although I have to agree with Tony, kind of tailed off at the end, right? But
yeah,
it was great for two-thirds of it. Yeah.
Now, the Fan's Christmas Chorus brings you Malzy the Snowman.
Oh, Malzy the Snowman was a jolly happy soul.
Keep playing at limits and take it out after Bob's solo. Let's enjoy this together, Ray.
Oh, Malzy the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
Bob Solo.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzy danced around.
I think oversized was the key. See, those guys ripped me for the bad writing at the end, and I admit I tailed off. I didn't have much time to write it. But the writing to that point was rather brilliant, including the oversized hat. Yes?
Excellent. You deserve a Tony.
A Jackass Tony Award.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. Who's in and who's out in this game for sure, in your mind, for the Steelers?
Well, they did the report yesterday. They're not going to have Justin Fields or George Pickens. The good news is T.J. Watt has no injury designation, so he's at least going to try to go. We'll see where that goes. And then Deshaun Elliott, doubtful. Larry Ogunjobi is questionable. I thought Ogunjobi was going to play last week. I was wrong. He's a guy who's seemingly always hurt but always plays, so we'll see if that's any better this week.
Ray, how bad is the T.J. Watt injury? It seemed like he kind of escaped disaster. Like it's not as bad as it looked when it first happened in Philly.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Donnie, but when I saw it happen, I was like, okay, where did he turn his ankle? I mean, it wasn't a terrible one where you roll it and you're like, oh God, that's that hurts.
Yeah, but like the Alex Highsmith one I thought of.
Yeah. So obviously, any sprained ankle, you're going to be somewhat limited. But as TJ said yesterday, everyone is dealing with something at this time of the year. So, I don't know. You know, the difficult thing for the Steelers and for TJ is they got to turn around and play the Chiefs in 4 days. So I wouldn't be surprised if TJ is maybe subbed in and out a little bit. You got Nick Herbig. You got Preston Smith. This is a perfect time to take advantage of that depth and see if they can get through this without TJ having to play his normal workload.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So, Ray, the question of the day we opened the show with, the Steelers just have a hex on Lamar at this point. What is he? Well, he has a losing record against them compared to everybody else but the Chiefs, and even the Chiefs he's played well against. They make him look unrecognizable. So we asked at the beginning of the show, is he going to turn back into Lamar this game, or is the pattern going to stand? What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, I want to give Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin all the credit in the world. They have done a fantastic job of making him a pocket quarterback, but he is a guy who could really hurt you with his legs. And if you watched the way the Steelers tried to tackle in space against the Eagles, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I am tucking that ball and I am running it every opportunity. Deshaun Elliott's not going to play. You saw how much DeMonte KZ struggled in space. You saw Joey Porter, Patrick Queen, Dante Jackson, and I could probably list the entire defense. They were having trouble getting Jalen Hurts and those little scat backs from the Eagles on the ground. What's going to happen when it's Lamar Jackson? So I know Lamar, John Harbaugh, they haven't really done that in the past against the Steelers, and I get it. You don't want to get that guy hurt, but division title's on the line. If the Ravens don't win this game, they're not going to win the division. So don't be surprised, guy, if they're pulling everything out of their sleeve to see if they can get this one in Baltimore.
Ray, did he answer the question there? I don't remember.
No, I mean, I think he's due, Joe. I think he's due to have a more Lamar-like game. So, that's my answer.
Ray, you mentioned Patrick Queen there in the midst of that answer. When I was with Landon Roberts the other night, I tried to ask him if Queen is looking at this like a bigger game than most of the others. He indicated he wasn't, and that's obviously his stable mate back there. But something tells me that Patrick Queen's got a little bit more in the tank for his first return to Baltimore.
Yeah, I think you always do when you play your former team. But Donnie, I think he got a lot of that out of his system in that first game at Acrisure too. So, yeah, he's going to be pumped up. You know, he said, I think we talked to him on Monday or Tuesday, and, he expects to hear it from that crowd in Baltimore. So that's going to add a little bit of juice for him. But, Patrick is a pro. He came out and played lights out at that game at Acrisure. Didn't have the greatest game against the Eagles, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has another game like he did against the Ravens the first time around. That guy's a good player, and he's playing against his former team. So, he's going to want to go out there and show out.
Did you three, see that A.Q. Shipley has weighed in on this one?
No.
Ray?
I did not, no.
Wait till you hear what he said. It's he was on, I'm reading this via Steelers Depot, but he was on a YouTube channel called Clean Pocket. We all remember A.Q.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens are going to beat the, I'll say, crap out of the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game, says A.Q. Shipley. I have not been a fan of the Steelers offense all year. That same offense showed up again last week. I just don't think they're very good. I think their offensive line is average at best. I think Russell Wilson is average at best. Can he make some plays? Sure, says A.Q. Shipley. Can he throw a moon ball up and somebody makes a play for him? Sure. Do I think it's going to happen this weekend? Absolutely not. That's the hottest take of the week by Dr. Shipley. What do you think, Ray?
Well, especially he's going to have a hard time throwing up moon balls and having the likes of Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller and whoever else try to catch those. So, you guys know what the Steelers are up against. It's going to be hard without George Pickens. And I think that's probably part of AQ's answer there. I probably agree with him on the offensive line. I think it is average.
You a fan of the offense, Ray? Are you a fan of this offense and of Arthur Smith? And I think we all are in comparison to Matt Canada. But if Canada never existed, do you like what Smitty's doing? Is this a good offense?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Joe, going into this weekend, they're number 11 in scoring. They're probably middle of the pack in yardage because they've had some stinkers like they did in Philadelphia. So They're not like Philadelphia or Baltimore when it comes to their offense, but they've been good enough. This is a team that relies on its defense. If they go into the playoffs, Joe, as a division winner, I would like them to win at home. The offense is what it is. I mean, it's probably middle of the pack. But the one thing I will disagree with on Shipley, I think Russ, and if you look at the metrics of this as well, Russ is more than an average quarterback this year. I know people like to sort of look at the most recent outing, but you know, pretty much by any metric, if you put him up against all these quarterbacks, he's a top 10, top 12 guy. I really haven't seen him outside the top 12 all season. So that's one area where I disagree with AQ.
That to me kind of sounds like he was one of the people waiting on them to really have an ugly game, and they did. It also happened without their most explosive offensive player.
I mean, to be fair, they had an ugly game in the first Ravens game, too. To be really fair, those are probably the two best overall teams, maybe not defenses because the Ravens were struggling, but against teams in playoff position, Donnie, the Steelers are averaging 18.2 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, I just think coming off like what was truly their ugliest output, like their worst yardage total in well over a decade, you know, they barely had the football. I mean, people seem to forget all because it was early in the season and, you know, they don't want to say that these teams were fully christened and ready to go. They completely avoid the fact that the Steelers were playing their backup quarterback at the time and they were out of the gate with a new offense, but they go into Denver, pretty much hold the Broncos at arm's length. That never felt like a real competitive football game. They beat the Chargers. They should have beat the Chargers by 3 scores, even with a compromised Justin Herbert. They have beaten good teams on their schedule, and it just seemed like people wanted to jump on what happened in Philly last week because that was the first time they got beat down a little bit.
What do you think?
Is that kind of how you feel, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have to remember, and I'm not predicting that they're going to lose out or even lose two of the next three, but if they do, didn't everyone have them like as a 10-7? 9-8 type of a team? It's just that right now the Steelers are going through the meaty part of their schedule. The Ravens have all those games behind them, and it's going to be a dogfight down to the end. Now, listen, the Steelers can wrap it up this weekend, but I got a feeling that if the Ravens take care of this at home, like a lot of people think they are, what are they, a touchdown favorite in this game? Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be you think things are chaotic in Washington, D.C. right now. Things are going to be chaotic in the AFC North for the rest of the season.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Call to win a pair of tickets to see Floyd Nation at the Palace Theater on January 9th. Floyd Nation's Wish We Were There tour celebrates the 50th anniversary of Pink Floyd's iconic album with an album-inspired set list. Caller number 3 to our dear friend City Limits, 412-928-9370, gets those tickets. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Two guys that people want to get the ball more. That is Jaylen Warren, down to like 7.5 touches average over the last 3 games, and Pat Freiermuth. Do you agree with that? And do you think the Steelers will get the ball to those two guys more, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Freiermuth, he's been in the end zone more, but his volume of catches and yards really is kind of been the same like it's been all season. You know, what do you have, 3 for 22 last week? He just gets in the end zone, so people are more excited about that. I think they could expand his use even more, to be honest with you. And then Jaylen Warren, I wrote about this after the game, that toss play, and I know Arthur Smith defended it the other day when he spoke to us, but that toss play, you want Jaylen Warren with the ball in his hands in those situations. You want him with his ability to hit the hole to be that guy. You don't want Najee Harris to do that. And inevitably, they always give it to Najee when they run that play. So I don't get it. You know, Jaylen is by far the better receiver. Get him out in space more. I think we probably are going to see more of Jaylen in this game against the Ravens. And to be honest, I think it's quite overdue.
What did Artie say about that? I missed that.
Well, he's saying a lot of teams are stacking the box And every team in the league is running that toss play, try to get to the edge, which is fine. You know, that you could do that, but get Jaylen Warren in the game. He's your faster, quicker guy. Yeah, we all know that Najee's the guy between the tackles. He's going to push the pile. He's going to get some yards after contact. But Jaylen Warren is your home run hitter, your fastest back, your guy you want in those situations. So
that play stinks, so Ray. That play stinks.
He wasn't so much defending Najee, Joe. He was defending the use of that play more.
That's what I'm saying. That play stinks. Yeah. And I see it against the Steelers, too. And I thought that Andy Weidel and all these guys were building the Steelers up to be a big, bad, physical team. They're stacking the box. Run anyway. Try to run anyway. Najee is not a guy who's going to get around the edge on a pitch. It's a dumb play.
And you have guys like Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson who could track that stuff down. The Steelers aren't the only team who have guys who can run 4-4, 4-5. Other teams have linebackers who can do that too, and that's why you see that for no gain or even negative yards a lot of the times.
Donnie, in short yardage, I just, every time I see it, it's like, all right, that's the last thing you want to do, because it feels like there's a high percentage chance that, well, here's what you do. Here's what happens on short yardage, the more that I think about this. If you run it straight ahead with your guy, whether it's Najee, Derrick Henry, not comparing the two, at least it's close to the line of scrimmage where you have guys bowling forward, and maybe the running back can do it on his own, get you a yard or two. When you pitch it out and he's trapped by people, he's got no shot because he's already 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I just hate the play. You agree, Donnie?
I do, yeah. And Ray, are you a little bit worried, or is that the reason why we've seen numbers tick down for Najee Harris? Going into the Steelers bye week, he had his best 3-game stretch as a pro. Yeah. And a lot of people started to ask the question, oh, should the Steelers regret not giving him that fifth-year option? Should they look into re-signing him? Since the bye week, 3.2 yards per carry, 49.8 yards per game. Is that more the player, more the scheme, or a mix of both?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Najee looked to be dragging a little bit in that Eagles game, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, honestly, that's the best front in the NFL. Arthur did him no favors by running on first and second down as much as he did. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's all of Najee's fault, but he does look like, whether he's dealing with an injury or where, you know, maybe it's just normal wear and tear at this stage of the season, he does seem to be slowing down just a little bit.
See, that worries me a little bit, Joe. Like, this is the point of the season where that dude's got to get ready for the giddy up here.
Najee? Like,
yeah.
And, well, give it to Warren. That's what I would do.
Well, I mean, that's where I think less is more for both of those guys. Like, dish it out a little bit more. I know that Warren was dinged up early. I know Patterson missed some time. But I don't love hearing that we are in, you know, about a week away from Christmas. We got 3 games to go here, and it sounds like Harris is borderline slowing things down.
Yeah, Donnie, that whole rotation has been off to me. We talked about this a few weeks ago, shoehorning Cordarrelle Patterson into it. It feels unnecessary to me. So I just, you know, just stick with those two guys and maybe come up with a better rotation. That's what I would do.
Do you think Najee got benched? Was there anything punitive? If Najee doesn't fumble that ball, is Cordarrelle Patterson in on the next series? That's my question.
Well, didn't they only run like 3 plays after that?
Yeah,
and
but
it was all Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So, I mean, it's not out of the ordinary for them to bench somebody for a series or two if they fumble, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you Najee was benched either. I just think if it was going to happen, it was probably for that series and they were going to go on with it. They never got the ball back, you know? So that's what made it seem like a benching.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
Ray, you ready?
I am ready, Joe.
As I mentioned, 7.5 carries for Warren over the last 3 games, 7.7 to be precise. Touches, I should say, not carries, touches. Over under, 8.5 touches for Warren.
Over.
Mount Washington has disappeared. Over under, 1.5 catches.
Under.
Lamar rushes for his first ever touchdown rushing against the Steelers in this game.
What the heck? I'll go yes.
Minka, I usually ask you what month, and I guess I still have to since it hasn't happened yet, or what year, I mean. His next turnover, 24. We're running out of time, Ray. 2025 or 2029?
Can I say let's go 2025.
Right. It's one of the most remarkable stories I've ever seen. All the people inside and outside the organization running interference for a guy who is getting paid tons of money and is now going on multiple years without an interception or a fumble recovery. I've never seen anything like it. That was an aside. That was an editorial. I apologize, Ray. TJ Watt, over under 1.5 sacks.
Under.
Russell Wilson, over under 1.5 touchdowns.
Under.
Over under 0.5 the times Mike Tomlin runs a half minute off the clock with no explanation and says after the game, I got caught up in some information.
Well, hopefully under.
Did you ever follow up and see what information was so pressing at the time that the football game didn't matter?
No. If he wanted to make that public, he would have done so at the time. People have speculated, and I think they might be right, Joe, that they were looking at the replay because everyone was so surprised that Jalen Hurts held onto that ball.
Yeah.
When TJ tried to strip him. So that's a great theory. But no, Mike has never come out and said that.
Cordarrelle Patterson, over under 27.5 touches.
Under.
Over under 1.5 touches.
Over.
Mike Williams, over under 1.5 catches.
Go over.
Does Mike Williams get a touchdown in this game?
I wouldn't go that far.
Percent chance Deontay, who I believe is barred from the stadium, bursts through the tunnel running backwards, Ray. Put a percentage on that.
He's running backwards and he punches Mitch Trubisky in the face.
Justin Tucker, let's say he gets 4 attempts. How many does he make?
3.
Is Boz perfect again in this game?
Yes.
And leave us with a prediction, Ray. The final score and who are you giving the game ball to? Who's going to get the game ball?
I'm going to go Ravens 27, Steelers 13, and I'll give the game ball to Lamar.
Holy horse follicles. So you think the Steelers will need 28 to win this game?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I can see that.
An uncharacteristically high-scoring Steelers-Ravens game.
Beautiful. Great stuff, Ray, as always. Say goodbye to Donnie and Limits, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys. See you next week.
You too, Ray.
Bye, Ray. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
What a wonderful man he is, Donnie, huh?
There was something I was going to sneak in there at the end, but he kind of gave it away with his prediction, thinking it's going to be pretty convincing. I was just going to ask, will the Ravens score a touchdown on their opening drive?
Ooh.
Because I think that's
like
big. I was saying earlier, I think that's a...
We're having a lot of fun today. Donnie has brought in cookios. I'll call them cookios. They're chocolate chip cookies with Oreos stuffed inside of them. I've never heard of such a thing, Donnie. Your girlfriend Sarah made them. I'm going to indulge right after my pasta.
I think you're going to enjoy it.
So do I.
Joe, I just had my pasta. It was incrinculant. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I treated the boys to lunch today. I felt it was the least I could do. Donnie brought me chicken and broccoli a couple weeks ago, which was a grand gesture.
Joe, I have a gift for you. Would you like it today or would you like it on Monday?
Monday, please.
Okay.
Because I have two gifts for you. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm re-gifting you the penguin scarf they gave me at Hampton Beer Outlet. And Donnie, I'm re-gifting you the case of beer they gave me there. I think re-gifting is nice, actually, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
He just took away the surprise.
But I thought you got that for... your stepson.
No, that was the other case. I wound up with two cases. I don't know how. Maybe I accidentally stole one. I don't know. I brought two. There were two cases of beer next to me at the end of the show, and I brought them both out to my car.
Did you take Donnie's case?
No, I got mine.
Did you take T-Bird's case?
I might have taken T-Bird's case. I might have, now that I think about it. All right, let's get to it. The intergalactically appreciated numbers game. I've actually had a number of people. To continue with that theme, tell me they love this, Donnie, and I love it too. Do you have a number for me?
I do. Well, I also wanted to mention, I saw somebody at a Christmas party last week, and they said, hey, I love the show. I listen to all the shows basically all day long. I'm an engineer. I love the numbers game.
He would, right, as an engineer? Starkey. I love this, Donnie. Let's go. You got a number.
I do. 48. That was Lamar Jackson's completion percentage against the Steelers in the first matchup this season.
Wow.
Before that game, he was completing passes at 69%. Since the game, 72%.
That's what I'm talking about. He's unrecognizable against these guys, and I've got a number that fits that theme. Zero. Rushing touchdowns for Lamar against the Steelers in his career. He's never crossed the goal line. They've been inside the five a million times. There's something that's in his head. He sees ghosts. Donnie, do you have a number for me?
One. Lamar Jackson's wins against the Steelers. He is 1-4.
Holy horse
in his
milk.
Career.
329. That was the yardage total for the Ravens in the first matchup, and that was a season low, which tells you something about their offense. If that's your season low, 329.
19. The points per game Baltimore has scored against the Steelers with Lamar as quarterback. Consider what they do against other teams. They score 10 more points on average against everybody else. Over 29 a game.
Incorrigible. Limits, you're keeping track of all these, and at the end, we're going to ask you for your very favorite number out of all of them. Can you handle that?
I have them written in the notes.
27 is my number, Donnie. Any guess as to what that might be?
No.
Wrong. In 27 of the past 33 matchups between these teams, including 9 in a row, it was a one-score game. Think about that. 27 of 33?
That's part of me why I can't quite get to the score that Ray put out there or even the one that you hinted at, because it just seems like no matter what, unless the Steelers have Duck Hodges at QB and it's week 18 and they just have no hope, then like the games are always close. They're going to be a battle. Where was I at here? 43 offensive plays last week by the Steelers. The fewest of any team in a game all season. They can't have that happen again. They
My
were barely
God, hopefully
on the field.
Hopefully never again. Did you hear the Russ clip on Hard Knocks? He went up to somebody on the sidelines and said, I've never been in a game where we only had 2 second-half possessions. I think did they get three? Did they have three in the second half? That might have been before their third. I don't remember. Did they just have two?
Well, remember,
I don't even remember.
They punted the football with 10.5 minutes to go and never got it again.
Oh, I remember. Instead of not living in their fears and going for it, they punted from the other team's 46 down 2 touchdowns with 10.5 minutes left. 6. The Steelers are 6-1 in games where Mike Tomlin has a chance to wrap up the division title. How about that old Donald football?
Pretty good winning percentage for Mike T.
Yeah.
997, the penalty yards the Ravens have gathered up this season. That leads football, 117 accepted penalties.
Man, am I glad you mentioned that, because you won't believe this, but my next number was 12 penalties on the Ravens in the first Steeler matchup. I was looking for the accompaniment. Where do they rank? And you preceded me with it, Donnie. We're working like a well-oiled machine.
That was perfect there. Yeah. That's some chemistry limits. 74.1. The best red zone offense in football belongs to the Baltimore Ravens. 74.1%. Do you know what the Steelers is?
50?
45.8.
I got two numbers for you, Donnie. 5 and 8. In his career against the Steelers, Lamar has 5 touchdown passes and 8 picks. That's unbelievable. Go ahead.
286.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson has just 286 yards over the past two games without George Pickens.
You and I are working like a well-oiled machine, Donnie, because my next number was 143, Russell Wilson's passing yard average without George Pickens. This is phenomenal. Keep going.
16, the number of snaps Najee Harris played last week, a career low in the loss against Philly.
You're winning here. I will acknowledge that. Did you actually do research this week or just copy it like we both always do?
I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah, I'm using
Lamar numbers and the Najee Harris numbers.
Yeah, I actually did some research, but I'm also using numbers from an Associated Press preview. That stood out to me. 60. That's number of tackles for Cam Hayward this season. That leads all interior linemen in the NFL, and he's second to Dexter Lawrence with sacks with 8, and he's probably going to finish first because Lawrence is hurt now.
1, and this one's a little bit scary to me. That's the amount of times Philadelphia blitzed the Steelers last week and look at how things operated offensively. They had one blitz counted
for. Are you with me that Donnie has raised his game to another level this week?
The stakes have never been higher in this week's numbers game.
Wow. 109. Lamar needs 109 yards rushing to pass Michael Vick atop the NFL's all-time leader for rushing yards by a quarterback. How old is this guy? Is he 28?
I think he's my age, yeah. He might even be younger. He probably is younger. He's only been in the league for
and
like 7 years.
And he's already going to do that?
6.9.
Yes.
Yards per play for the Ravens. That is the best in the NFL by more than half a yard.
I've never felt so synchronized to somebody in the numbers game. 70. That's number of plays for at least 20 yards. That's how many the Ravens have. 70 of them. That leads the NFL.
27.2. Those are the amount of drives. That's the percentage of drives that the Steelers defense creates a three and out. The best in football. And I think that is a huge key tomorrow if they can do that early and get in Lamar's head once again.
50. That is 50%. And that's Justin Tucker from 50 plus yards over the past 3 years. Only hitting half his field goals from distance of 50 or more. Guess what it was before that, Donnie? You come within five, I'll give you a cookie.
Guess what his percentage was?
Beyond 50 for his whole career up to the last 3 years.
I'll say like 85. That dude was nearly automatic.
72.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a little bit high.
No, but you were good because now it's gone down 22 percentage points and you're up.
I'll give you the number 80.
Yep.
Derrick Henry has been held under 80 yards from scrimmage in four of his past seven games, one of those being a Steelers matchup last month. He had just 65 yards on 13 carries.
And what a way to finish, Donnie, because we remained synchronized as if we're doing a synchronized swimming routine here. This is like water follies right now. 13, Derrick Henry's number of carries against the Steelers. He only had one game where he was lower than that, and that was 11, but that leads to another number. Do you have another number you'd like to finish on after this, or should we end it here? I'm open.
I do have one for after
Please,
this.
Please, this is my last number. 5. The Ravens are 5-0 when Derrick Henry gets 20 or more carries. Donnie, I cede the floor to you.
17. T.J. Watt's sacks in his career against the Ravens since he entered the league in 2017. That is the most by any player versus any team.
Limits, that was some of the most spectacular numbers-related sports radio in this town in several decades.
It was incredible.
What was the best number?
Man, Donnie, I think, won the overall numbers game. His numbers were incredible.
Yeah.
But, Joe, your number that the Steelers and Ravens have played 27 of the last 33 being one-score games, that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think that stood out to a lot of people, Donnie, although you, I agree, won the overall game.
I mean, and think about where the spread is, too, for this. Like, it's rated a one-score game,
yeah,
basically. And that's why I think a lot of people, even with the Steelers' offense looking down, it's going to be hard for the outside betting world to go against that because everyone's going to think this game's always close.